What is going on, everybody? You're listening to the J Red Show. Before we talk about sports, I want to talk about the serious situationing happening in Ukraine, their war that's going on with Russia. I'm not going to get too much into the political aspect of it, like whose fault is it, or that, Vladimir Putin's a madman. But I was listening to WGR 550. I was listening to the Bulldog, and he was pretty much in tears over the situation. And it's a real scary time, because this world could be heading towards World War III. It was very encouraging to see the Russian people stand up to the Russian government and protest this war and say that Ukraine is not our enemy. So it is really, that's a real encouraging sign, and I hope everything will turn out okay. But man, with the Russians taking over Chernobyl, it is real scary, and hope we don't enter a nuclear war, and just gotta hope for the best, man. If you're religious, say a prayer for the entire world. I'm gonna slowly transition this into sports talk. A few days ago, my father asked me and my brothers, why do we care about sports since both my parents don't care? Well, that's not entirely true. My mother somewhat cares about hockey. She grew up watching the Sabres in the 70s with the French Connection. But as a whole, me and my brothers love sports. Well, my younger brother Justin only loves the NFL, but me and my older brother, we love football, hockey, baseball. Well, my older brother's answer was he compares it to claiming victory in a battle of a war and taking pride in your city. And that's really my answer. I love the Bills and the Sabres because I grew up in Buffalo. I take pride in the city. I also love the Rochester Americans because I had a press pass for them back when I was in college, and I go to a couple Amherst games every year. The Yankees, I decided to root for them in high school because a lot of my friends were Yankees fans, and I decided, just go along with it. I mean, I could watch the Yankees on Yes. They used to be on WECK 1230 radio station. I consider myself a casual fan of the Bisons, the Bandits, the Chicago Bulls, and UB Bulls, and the Batavia Muck Dogs. I root for these teams, but not with the same passion as I do the Bills, Sabres, Amherst, and Yankees. When the Yankees, I was a casual fan, but in the last 10 years, I've been to Yankee Stadium, I've been to a couple baseball games, so I kind of moved up to a hardcore fan. When it comes to the Bulls, both Chicago and UB, Bands and Bisons, and the Muck Dogs, I root for them like how my mother rooted for the Sabres. She'll watch them, but she's not really emotionally interested. Whereas I root with a passion for the Bills, the Sabres, the Amherst, and the Yankees. My older brother's just the opposite, though. He hates the Yankees. He's a Blue Jays fan. And another reason I love sport, we love sports is for the stories and like LeBron coming back to win a championship for Cleveland, or the Kurt Warner story, or, and frankly, especially in the last 2 years, just watching sports, just watching these, just watching them play sports, just as we compared it to a victory in a battle, just seeing teams and players play sports is a victory over the coronavirus, over terrorism, over war, like what we see with Russia and Ukraine right now. So, why do you love sports? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow. Oh, yeah, and podcasting and radio is another reason why I love sports. Well, because I've been trying to pursue a career in radio. It started in 2003 when me and my church, we went to the CNN building in Atlanta. We were down there for a youth gathering of Lutheran churches at the then Georgia Dome. And while we were there, we went to the CNN building. While we were there, I went up to a fake teleprompter and I read a fake news story. After reading that story, my fellow churchmates were like, "Oh, John, you were really good. You should probably pursue a career in that." So I went to Genesee Community College, got a career at WGCC 90.7 FM. Not a career, but I was on the radio, the radio station, WGCC 90.7 FM. And then I started doing this podcasting group. So, trying to pursue a career in radio one of these days. So, I mean, I do talk sports, but I also like to talk about others. Maybe in future shows, I'll talk about other subjects like movies or TV shows. So, what are your thoughts? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow. Now on to the sports. Well, when I mentioned my love for sports, when it comes to individual sports like NASCAR, golf, and UFC, I could have cared less about those until sports gambling became legal. Once that happened, and once I met some friends who were into NASCAR, I got together with them and I watched the Daytona 500. And I put $20 on Kyle Larson. And had he won the Daytona 500, I would have won $100. I put money on Kyle Larson because, in my opinion, I think this guy is the next face of NASCAR. I think he is the next Jeff Gordon, the next Dale Earnhardt. He has the potential to do what Jimmy Johnson did a few years ago and win 5 championships in a row. In the Daytona 500, in this year's Daytona 500, he struggled throughout most of the race. He spent most of the race in like the mid-teens and like 15, 14, 13. Looks like he wasn't even going to come close. But he did come close towards the end of the second stage. And he did manage to get into the top 3 towards the end of the race before he fell to 10th and then eventually crashed out. So that got me excited. But the winner of the race was Austin Cedric, a rookie. So he established himself as a household name for NASCAR with this race. NASCAR went into overtime, and Cedric just barely managed to stay ahead of Bubba Wallace and all the other NASCAR drivers in a really tight finish. But I want to talk about NASCAR's overtime rules. And the NASCAR's rules. The funny thing about NASCAR is they added these new, ever since 2003, when they started the chase for the cup, they added these new rules in order to gain casual fans and non-fans. They added the chase for the cup.
They added stage racing. They added playoffs. And all in an attempt to win over casual non-fans. But it didn't work. In fact, it had the opposite effect. It drove their hardcore fans away. No pun intended. But then sports gambling became legal. And then, so non-fans like myself all of a sudden became fans. And like I said, it's not just for NASCAR, but for golf too. In addition to that bet I had on Kyle Larson, I had it parlayed with Roquan Neiman. I would have won an additional $89 had Roquan Neiman won the Genesis Invitational. And he did, but unfortunately Larson didn't win in the NASCAR race, so I got nothing out of it. But Neiman not only won the tournament, but he broke some records. He shattered the two-round record by 4 strokes. He shot his second straight 8-under par 63 for a two-round score of 126, sharing the previous 36-hole course record of 130 by 4 strokes. So, golf is in a unique position. I mentioned with NASCAR that I think Kyle Larson is the next face of the sport. But the question is, who is the next face of golf? The current face of golf is, of course, Tiger Woods. And there will probably never be a next Tiger Woods. No one will probably never transcend the sport the way Tiger did. But as of right now, Tiger Woods' future is in jeopardy as he recovers from that car accident. And it's debatable whether or not he's going to play golf again. And golf is going to continue to go without him. So there will never be a next Tiger Woods, but there will be a next face of golf. The question is, who is it? Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Neiman? He put his name into the hat last week with that record-setting performance. Is it Jordan Spieth? Is it Justin Thomas? Who do you think is the next face of golf? Hit me up on Twitter at JRedShow. Now on to team sports. The Buffalo Sabres lost to the Montreal Canadiens 4-0. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to question the effort they're putting in every night. They had a good game a couple days ago versus the Colorado Avalanche. They came back from a 3-1 deficit to tie it at 3 before being screwed over by the refs who missed an interference call on Dahlin, and Colorado was managed to score on that. So that was a good effort against one of the best teams in the NHL. But on Thursday, they had an abysmal game versus Ottawa where they lost 3-1. Sunday, they had another abysmal game versus the Blue Jackets where they lost 7-3. And now, Wednesday, they had another abysmal game where they lost to the Montreal Canadiens 4-0. And I know the season is over. The most points they can get if they win all 30 of their remaining games is 100 points. They're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but they're pretty much eliminated from the playoffs. And it's going to be the 11th year in a row for they miss the playoffs. This year was about developing and looking for the signs, good signs for the future. And for a while, they were achieving that goal. Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner. They were all giving me hope for the future. They were, I was looking at this team and I thought, okay, bring back this exact same roster, get better goaltending, maybe boost up the defense, and you'll have something here. If not a playoff team, at the very least, a team that's not, a season whose season's not over by Thanksgiving, or a team that's not over, whose season's not over by Christmas. But these last couple of games are just a real gut-wrenching. Watching these gut-wrenching performances is not going to get it done. Again, Tuck, all these players are giving me hope for the future. But so did Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly and that and Sam Reinhart and that last core. And that fell apart. So, this, like I said, the Sabres have to get this right. Buffalo Sabres season has fallen apart, but they're already at the bottom of the ocean. Another team season that's fallen apart is the Rochester Americans. Another thing I stated for this year is, like, while the Sabres season is done, on paper, the Amerks have their best roster since the mid-2000s, when they last won a playoff series in 2005. But their season's starting to fall apart as well. The Amerks are 3-5-1-1 in their last 10 games, and currently on a 3-game losing streak. And the injuries keep piling up. Quinn is out. Mersch is out. And all of a sudden, their promising season's in jeopardy. And it's starting to get a little scary. I misread the AHL playoff standings. I initially thought that the top two teams get a bye. Then 3 faces 6, 4 faces 5, and 7 misses the playoffs. But I looked at completely the wrong division. It is different for every division. And that's where I got confused. But yeah, it's stupid that the AHL has this system. It's stupid that teams have an uneven schedule. But here is the North Division. The number one seed, which is currently the Utica Comets, gets a bye. Gets a first round bye. And then the number two seed, the Toronto Marlies, would take on the number five seed, the Belleville Senators. And then the number three seed, the Laval Rocket, take on the number four seed, the Rochester Americans, in a best 2-out-of-3 series. The lowest remaining seed would take on Utica in the next round in a 3-out-of-5. And the other two teams would be in a 3-out-of-5. And then the bottom two teams, which is the Syracuse Crunch and the Cleveland Monsters, would miss the playoffs. So it's not the last place team that misses the playoffs. The last two teams would miss the playoffs. So with that said, all of a sudden I'm a little bit more nervous about the Amherst making the playoffs. The Crunch are 5-4-1, and they're coming up on them fast. So the Amherst need to get healthy, and Kevin Adams needs to make some moves to save this season before it's too late. I like what Adams has done so far, but he needs to be more active at this trade deadline for the Amerks. I'm not expecting much for the Sabres when it comes to the trade deadline. I think Evan Rodriguez will get traded, but I can't expect much for the Sabres. But for the Amerks, he has to be more active. But otherwise, this season's going to go up in smoke. What are your thoughts? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow. On to other sports. Aaron Rodgers' future. We keep going back and forth on this. After the Packers were eliminated by the 49ers, I thought they blew their last chance with Aaron Rodgers. he's gone. But as the offseason went along, I started to think, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers might stay in Green Bay. I mean, why would he go to the AFC? I mean, the AFC is loaded with great quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I thought he should stay in the NFC and continue to feast on a weak division. I mean, the NFC is not as strong. I mean, you have Kyler Murray, you have Dak Prescott, but it's nowhere near the star power of the AFC. But Rodgers has sent some cryptic messages on Instagram, and he might be either retiring altogether or going somewhere else. So I keep going back and forth on where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. I do think he will end up in Denver. I think with all the salary cap issues, Green Bay is not going to be as good as what they were in the last couple of years. But we will see what Aaron Rodgers does. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers will go? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow. On to the NBA. The NBA All-Star Games was last Sunday, and it was won by Team LeBron on a the game-winning shot was scored by LeBron in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, you couldn't have scripted any better. And now there is a rumor that LeBron James might return to Cleveland. And you know what? The crazy thing is, I can see that happening. Because I think the Cleveland Cavaliers have a bright future at they are currently 35-24. And the Lakers are a disastrous 27-31. I think the future for the Cavaliers is a lot brighter than the future for the Lakers. And I can see LeBron go back to Cleveland. Probably not this offseason, but I think before he retires, he will try to win one more championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers before he hangs it up. Finally, on to soccer. The game of the week last week was between Tottenham versus Manchester City. Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester City. And Dejan Kulusevski scored with 4 minutes into the game to make it 1-0. Ike Gundogan tied it at 33 minutes. Then at the 59-minute mark, Harry Kane makes it 2-1. With 2 minutes into extra time, Ryan Mahrez scores on a penalty shot to tie it at 2. But then Harry Kane scores at 3 minutes, the game winner, 3 minutes later in one of the best Premier League games of the year to give Tottenham a 3-2 victory. This was not only the most exciting game of the year, but it completely changes the perception of the Premier League. I thought Manchester City was going to run away with the championship, but all of a sudden, they are only 3 points ahead of Liverpool. So that gave us a race. Not only that, but this was a great game by Harry Kane. We talk about who is the greatest of all time, but who is the face of each sport. In soccer, it's either Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. But when those two retire, I think Harry Kane is going to be the next face of soccer. Maybe Robert Lewandowski or Robert Salah. But Harry Kane is shattering records, and he has established himself as a face of soccer. So, what are your thoughts on sports? Hitman Twitter at JRed Show. Say a prayer for you if you say a prayer for Ukraine and Russia and the rest of the world, and I will see you later.